Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Carol Francis Talk Radio Show. Let's make life happen together with authors, scientists, researchers, both inside the box and outside the box of understanding, so that you can live a life full of your success, curiosity, enjoyment, happiness, and richness of life in every respect. Let's go beyond our limits, and let's help others go beyond their limits as well. Welcome.
Oh, there is a book waiting inside of you, or perhaps it's already written. Perhaps it's in your computer. Perhaps it's even self-published on your shelf. Perhaps it's published and been sitting there collecting dust. Today, we are going to take that book, and as Randy Pacer, am I saying that right, Randy?
Pizer.
Pizer, P-E-Y-S-E-R. She says on her website, we perform book appendectomies to get the book inside of you out. Welcome, Randy. So glad you could come here from AuthorOneStop.com. Okay, Randy, let's just start right out of that gate. Let's get these people who have those books, not the ones that are needing to learn how to write it. We got those too, but those that have their books done, take us to the next step immediately, right out of the gate, and we'll get to know who you are in just a moment. What's the next step?
When a book is written, if you want to get it to a traditional publisher, the next step would be, well, regardless, the book has to be edited. So number one, the book must be edited, because this is representing you as the professional you are, and you want to make sure that you're represented correctly. So number one, get the book edited. Number two, you need to be making a decision about what publishing format do you want to do. Do you want to go with a traditional publisher, or do you want to self-publish? And there are advantages to both. So, for example...
Okay, can you give us both? Oh, good.
Yes. So, for example, for a traditional publisher, you're going to make a lot less money per book. So that's like the biggest con. However, if you are using this book to monetize your expertise and you want to get on larger stages and you want more publicity and you want greater credibility, maybe you want fame or recognition, a national profile, absolutely try for a traditional publisher. And I'll give you the reason why. I had one client, Eleanor Stutz, and she was relatively unknown, and she was a sales professional, and she wrote a book called Nice Girls Do Get the Sale. I sold that book directly to a publisher. As soon as it came out, it was featured in a supplement from Time magazine that went out to 2 million readers. Eleanor Stutz's career absolutely skyrocketed. Next thing you know, a woman who is virtually unknown, is on stage with Susie Orman at Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco, keynoting at a conference.
Perfect.
And
so that's a perfect example.
And that's just one example. I have many, many different kinds of examples. So if you want that greater notability, notoriety, credibility, larger book distribution also, then try for a traditional publisher. If, however,
I'm surprised you say that in terms of book distribution with the modern day Amazon.com and Kindle and Nook, and you really feel like they still make the bigger sell through a traditional publisher. That's interesting. Tell me more.
The first book I ever wrote was called Crappy Too Happy. It came out in 2002 through a traditional publisher. In 2005, it had sold out its entire print run, and the publisher opted not to renew it. So all the rights reverted, came back to me. I didn't do anything further with it. I'm sitting in a movie theater in 2010 for the opening night of Eat, Pray, Love, and there's my book, Crappy Too Happy, being featured in that movie. It's in a scene with Julia Roberts where it's before she goes off on her grand adventure to Europe and elsewhere, and she's looking for self-help books. And the book that they hold up at the counter, because it's a funny title, it's a funny cover, Crappy Too Happy, there's my book. Now, there's no way that book would have wound up in a movie if it hadn't been nationally distributed and somebody picked it up somewhere. You know, I'm just absolutely convinced of that.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And, publishers, traditional publishers, they're also going to have distribution rights as well for, e-books and all kinds of subsidiary rights. And they also have the advantage that they can shop foreign rights. And I have
So while we're on the process of traditional publishing, as soon as you're done with your next story, tell us how to access those traditional publishers. What was your next story before I interrupted so excitedly?
Just that, you know, right now I have a number of books for my clients that we're busy pitching foreign rights. You know, why not sell these books in, you know, Germany and Japan and just in China, wherever? Wherever. It's very, very exciting. You know, the biggest book fair in the world is happening very shortly. It's called the Frankfurt Book Fair. And my book, The Power of Miracle Thinking, is on its way to Frankfurt to be shopped for foreign rights. And that's very,
wow,
that's a very exciting possibility.
So now what's the process with you or otherwise in getting a traditional publisher? What does an author do?
Let's talk about nonfiction, because I'm going to assume that's really what we're speaking about, people who have a business kind of background or self-help, mind, body, spirit, personal growth. For all these nonfiction kinds of books, whether they're how-to or perhaps you've written something like a memoir or something of your personal experience and you want to empower other people through the lessons that you've learned and the challenges you've overcome in your life, all these kinds of books are going to require a full book proposal. And the book proposal is really the key. It's the absolute key to getting the sale for that book. And that book proposal had better be stellar. And here's the reason why. I'm sitting with a publisher who tells me he gets 10,000 submissions a year. Now, just roughly doing the math, if we're going to break that down to 12 months, that's basically 850, 860 submissions a publisher is going through each month. So to get to that publisher, we have to make sure that that book is absolutely stellar. Now, there are gatekeepers to most publishers, not all, but to most publishers, and these gatekeepers are called agents. And so agents pitch to publishers, and publishers, of course, have their pet agents and people who they meet with on regular, you know, on a regular basis. And so, for example, when I finish editing a book, I'll either give it directly to an agent who I work with who has these industry contacts to all the key people that we need to get to, or I'll pitch them directly, depending on the relationship that I have in place.
Hmm.
And I'll share with you the great news is, I'll just share one thing, like right now, I have 26 people under contract with different agents or publishers who I've helped them find. And so
wonderful.
The book proposal is really the absolute key to the sale.
Okay. So that, again, is on your website, authoronestop.com, and it is a tab. I'm looking at that page right at this very moment. And even if someone's already written their book proposal, you would like to review it. What do you do when you review it? What do you look for when you review their proposals?
There are many different kinds of book proposals that people write, and some people say, oh, I've heard somebody got, you know, a deal based on a 10-page proposal. A person getting a book deal these days on a 10-page proposal probably has a database of, like, you know, 500,000 people that they can access. It's very rare to get a book deal these days based on a 10-page proposal. More proposals are more along the lines of about 35 to 50 pages. And there are different sections to these proposals. And in each section, bam, we've got to grab that publisher. One after the other after the other. Every section has to be absolutely stellar. I call it the eyebrow factor. It's like, what is the initial hook that we're going to write that is going to absolutely hook a publisher? And so you have to be very, very careful. For example, there are many knockoff books. Like a theme becomes really just repeated over and over again, and all of a sudden the field gets flooded with books. For example, Law of Attraction knockoffs. You know, The Secret makes its big splash, and all of a sudden there's all of these Law of Attraction books. Now the Law of Attraction, okay, we've been there, we've done that, what's next? So, for example, I was pitching books in New York at the big publishing industry trade show back in May and June, as I always do at Book Expo America. It's a feeding frenzy for the entire publishing industry in this country. And I had one of the books I was pitching was based on finding happiness. And the feedback that I got over and over again, oh, it's been done. Well, obviously, there's not a lot of happy people still in the country. However, from the publisher's perspective, there are too many books in the best-selling category that are related to happiness, so why should we take another one? So what I did on the show floor is just like I instantly have to reposition the book so I can still pitch it.
Hmm.
And so over time, I've kind of become like a master of repositioning.
So what did you do? I want to know. This is an interesting story.
Yeah. And so how about if we change happiness to overcoming fear or to personal liberation, freeing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just slight tweaks, slight twists. But it required fast thinking on my feet because I was pitching in person. And so I had like about somewhere around like 9 publishers interested in considering once I changed my pitch.
Wow, that is interesting. Okay, so then you have to know what's going on in the publisher's mind and therefore in the public's mind.
Yes.
And you say, how do you find the people who will sell your book? But where do we go next then? After we use you to write the book proposal or find some avenue
to write it? I'll share with you. I made it really easy. I apologize for interrupting. I made it really easy for people to do, much easier and very inexpensive, actually, for people to do their book proposals. Because there are books on book proposals. However, when I'm working with an agent who gives me exact information about the questions that our publishers are asking now, I'm not seeing that information in the books out there. So I know that I have the most relevant information because of the constant feedback loop that I have with agents. So, for example, there's one agent I work with who sold 35 books last year. That's a lot of books. 6 of them were my clients' books. So the 6 books were the ones of all of my clients that I pitched to him. He offered contracts on these particular 6 books and sold every single one of them. 2 of them wound up being picked up not only by the publisher, but from the publisher they were sold in bulk sales to FedEx Office, who bought 3,000 copies of each of those books for all of their stores, and one of them was picked up by Office Max nationally. So again, that kind of distribution typically isn't going to happen with a self-published book. So I just wanted to kind of mention that. And so, here's this agent who has sold all of these books. And so I get to hear the feedback constantly about, what's hot, what's not, what's trending. So, for example, if you look at books on bullying, is bullying a big hot topic in the media? Yes, absolutely.
Yes?
Yes. Oh, I mean, my youngest client is 13 years old. I sold her book, The Bully in the Mirror. This past year, I'll tell you another really big topic, is stress reduction. So, for example, I had 2 books that came out in this past year, Adrenaline Nation, which is also in bookstores like the airport booksellers, Adrenaline Nation, how do we deal with all of this extra adrenaline as a society? And then another book, 5 Minutes to Stress Relief.
Fascinating. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think we've gone full circle. I remember those books coming out. Ooh, I'd definitely say in the 1970s.
Yes. Yes.
We see an ebb and a flow, don't we?
Yes. So I want to talk about the book proposal just a little bit more and how I made it inexpensive for people. Some years ago, I just started calling around. I wanted to find out, what's the going rate for writing these book proposals? I mean, they can be a little bit tedious, and so there's a lot of work that goes into them, 35 to 50 pages. And it's not fluff. We have to prove the sale of the book. And I found out that proposal writers were charging $6,000 to $10,000, which is out of the range of most people would be out of my range. And so I actually came up with a $300 solution that has worked for, I'd say, the majority of all those 26 people who I helped with their book deals with agents or publishers. And I had a proposal that came to me a couple of years ago, and it was for a woman who I'd helped sold her book some years, her first book. Then she came out with an e-book, and it was just, going through my email, and I saw it, and I called her immediately, and I said, I can sell this book if you want me to. I just knew I could sell it, and I did. And so I asked her to write a proposal because, she knew the process of writing the proposals the way I needed it. And she sent it to me, and I called her, and I said, I'm sorry, but this proposal won't sell the book. Will you please allow me to rewrite it? And she did. First she was like, oh, no, I know this is a great proposal. And I said, please, please, please trust me. Please, I know this is not going to sell the book. And so I rewrote it, and then she looked at what I did and went, oh, my God, now I get the difference. And what happened was I pitched that proposal. An agent offered a contract one day later and sold the book in 6 days.
Wow.
And so I sell that proposal with the author's permission. I sell it for $300. It's 50 pages. And people can follow it from section to section to see what a winning proposal that sold really quickly, what needs to be in on those 50 pages. Here's how to format it.
I sell it for
$300, you know, my sample book proposal. And people have used it over and over and over again to create their draft of the proposal. Then I'll come in on the back end and polish it, you know, for, you know, the smallest charge. And no proposal to date has gone over $1,500. And when you look at $6,000 to $10,000, you know, that's a big, big savings.
That is amazing. Now, how does this interface with individuals who want to do self-publishing but still have to go through the process of marketing? Because you have self-publishing related to book proposals on this website. Well, what's the interface of those two topics?
Self-publishing is its own thing. I mean, it just is. It's totally its own. It's a whole different path. So I've done both with my books. So, for example, Crappy to Happy was through a traditional publisher. I'm working on some new books now, The Little Book of Big Epiphanies. I have a publisher interested in that. I'm writing another one called Bald Courage. I went through chemo last year for breast cancer, and thank God I'm doing well. But it was the hardest experience of my life. So I'm writing Bald Courage to help people get through the chemo experience because it's a really challenging experience. And so the American Cancer Society has a publishing component. They're interested in seeing that book as soon as it's ready. So I like getting the books out through traditional publishers just because the channels, for example, for a niched book, the channels are so much better. I mean, instead of me having to hunt down, where am I going to find cancer patients and, you know, or bookstores related to cancer patients, and, well, take it to American Cancer Society. You know, I want to take it because books are niched. Those publishers know where they sell, and they have sales forces that help to sell them.
Okay, well, you're kind of selling me on the idea. You're kind of selling me on the idea that it's a great idea to go through traditional publishing, write the traditional book proposal, and that self-publishing, well, it has some benefits. You're making a really good point about going through traditional publishing.
I like both models for different reasons, and I've used both personally. So, for example, for self-publishing, I wrote a book called The Power of Miracle Thinking. And I pitched it all over to different agents, publishers, and I know all the mind, body, spirit publishers pretty much on a first-name basis. And so, you know, I'm pitching it everywhere. I know everybody's looking at it, and I'm getting the feedback, the miracle thing, it's been done. And I'm thinking, really? But okay, so I self-published it, and I like the fact that I make, on a book that sells for like $19.95, basically $20, I make about $13 per book. On my first book, Crappy to Happy, I made about 75 cents per book. So what I tell people is, like, if you want to make more money per book, self-publish. And if you want that greater recognition, notoriety, it wasn't The Power of Miracle Thinking that got me on stages all over the country. It was Crappy to Happy, being with a traditional publisher.
Take us down one of these two paths to the next step, either through traditional publishing or self-publishing. After the proposal was written, what happens next?
If you are self-publishing, you don't need a proposal. I mean, you know, some people will write proposals. They like it because they like the outline that a proposal provides.
Okay.
But for my sweet spot is really traditional publishing. That's really my passion, just because I've seen careers just become so expansive as a result of getting the book out through a traditional publisher. Like, I have one gal right now, Wendy Ida. Her name is spelled IDA, Wendy Ida. It's like WendyIda.com. Her book, Take Back Your Life, not only did it get picked up by the publisher, it got so big that now she's on stages, like in front of Google and Verizon. You know, her career just absolutely skyrocketed. And now she was offered a speaking engagement in Malaysia. And I mean, things are just hopping and popping for her in every possible direction. And the publisher actually came back to her the publisher I found for her and said, you know, we'd like you to do a second book. And she said to me, Randy, do I really need to? Look how my career is going. So she realized she didn't really need to because she's in such big demand.
Wow. That's, again, another great pitch for going the traditional route.
So okay, for traditional publishing, you would ask, like, what is the pathway? The way we typically work, I'll just share with you, somebody brings their manuscript to me. The first thing we're going to do is a read-through and very detailed written analysis. Because when we read it, we want to know, do we think a publisher is going to buy this? Because that's what we want. And is a reader going to buy this? Or do we need a slightly different positioning? And I'll give you an example. I had a man who came to me with a book called Successful Misfits. And I said, ooh, this is an interesting concept. It's about, you know, people who just don't fit in within their organization. But still, they become very successful. You know, and he cites like Richard Branson and all these people who just kind of were like mavericks who just became successful regardless. And I said, we can never sell a book by this title. And why can I say that? Because of direct feedback from a publisher. A publisher told me that he would never sell or accept a book, offer a contract on a book, where the target market reader is put down. So just the idea that you would call somebody a misfit, that's a way of putting somebody down. And so I was talking earlier about repositioning it, I called it Outsiders on the Inside, and that book sold.
Oh, interesting.
Just repositioning, same material, slight repositioning. Mm-hmm. So the first step we do is a very detailed written analysis because we want to know that the book is saleable. Because I never want to waste anybody's time or money because I'm not about that. I'm very passionate about helping people get book deals and seeing their careers happen because a book is somebody's dream. It's not just a book. It's somebody's dream, and I get to help somebody birth their dreams in the world, and I love that. How cool is that?
I know that some of the reviews that I read online about you is that Randy is so enthusiastic, so positive about the process, and I hear that in your tone of voice as well. You get excited about people's stories, ideas, messages. Okay, so you said, where do we go from here?
So after the review, and then we're also going to provide detailed notes, is there anything in this writing that's a red flag from a publisher's perspective? Then, so we're going to identify all of those places. Then the book's going to go back to the author to tweak, to rewrite, to reshape, or to us if a higher level of help is needed, like maybe ghostwriting or something like that. We certainly can do all of that to get the book all ready. The book is edited. We put the book proposal in place, make sure that's all polished and ready to go. Then I put on my pitching shoes and I pitch. And that is just such a fun process for me. So when I start to work with somebody, actually the moment somebody calls me just to start telling me just a little bit about their book or the book they think they'd like to write, in my mind I'm immediately, you know, like a thousand light years ahead. And I'm already thinking, you know, who's the publisher for this? Who are the people I need to get a hold of? You know, the agents, you know, what's the right path for this book? And I'm determining how is that person, in my eyes, going to be the most successful with that project. So I'm kind of mapping out the plan as I'm talking with somebody.
So someone could actually call you and say, I have 15 ideas. These are my 15 ideas. And you can actually come back and say, okay, focus on this idea. That is timely for our society as it is now. You can actually pinpoint that.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Very helpful.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that can be a very big advantage for people as well, to be writing on a topic that publishers are going to buy. That's the bottom line. Is somebody going to buy this? As a reader, it's like, what is so compelling about your work that people who are so distracted by everything happening in their own lives right now are willing to put down whatever they're doing and pick up your book? That's what I'm aiming for.
Yes, exactly. Okay, next up.
So the key... The biggest key, let's say, for example, once we've established that this is a topic that's timely and that we believe the writing is strong enough to support the sale of this book, the key to getting that book sold is going to be the publicity you have in place now, before we get to that publisher. And it's kind of like a catch-22. Most people say, well, as soon as the book comes out, I will, and then there's the whole long list of things that they intend to do. But publishers are not willing to take those kinds of risks anymore. And why should they invest in somebody? So that, you know, they want to know, are you a good investment for them? And so the one thing that I start doing with authors as soon as you're working with me, I'm going to help you to start building your publicity numbers. Because back in 2000 and 2001, when I was going to Book Expo America every year in New York and pitching books, you know, live in person, not one publisher or agent was saying, tell me about the author's social media platform. Now, it's the second question out of every single publisher and agent's mouths. Tell me about the author's platform. And platform translates as real numbers. What are your real numbers? What's the size of your social media following? And if you're telling me your social media following is like 300 people or 1,000 people, we're going to have trouble. So I'm going to help people build those numbers. And once somebody's working with me, I actually help people for free to do that. So I feel like when somebody's invested in working with me and my company, that's just a service I provide to help you build massive numbers.
And you know, that's my verb too. I'm so excited about people sharing their story. I'm working with authors all the time to give them that exposure and help them know how to do that. And I see on your webpage that you are promoting them to go to their radio show, to go to Wikipedia. You are telling them, get those press releases out. Absolutely. So essential these days. Don't be shy and under the rock.
Yes, I actually helped create a program through a website called mysocialmediatogo.com. mysocialmediatogo.com, all letters, no numbers. And, you know, I got together with, I was looking for like the perfect techno nerd, you know, who could really help me put my idea together. And what I wanted to do was offer a 30-day program, and it's free there. People can get it for free. You just sign up for it. Of something you can do every single day to boost your social media. Here's one more tip, one more step that you can do. And so through mysocialmediatogo.com, on that website, you know, you could just, you know, sign up and get a free program, and every day you get an automated message. Here's how you do Pinterest. You know, here's your Pinterest day. Here's this day, that day. And, you know, you do what you can. And if you don't want to do all those things but you see the value in them, you could always, you know, pay us to do it. But it is offered there for free, and, you know, that's certainly a wonderful starting place.
That is a very workable website. I'm on it right now, mysocialmediatogo.com. Oh, that's a wonderful service you provide people. You have no idea the magic, the key that she just handed over to you. Thank you.
You're very
all
welcome.
Right. So be cultivating your platform as you're writing that book, before you're writing that book, but definitely before you're going to reach out to anybody that you might want to be as your agent or your publisher.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
I call it eyeballs. Yeah. You know, you have to find eyeballs, whether they're online or in person or a combination, and start speaking. And people say, well, you know, I don't want to give my secret sauce away. You know, the book's not out. Start speaking. I start speaking on my topics typically a year before the book comes out. You just keep on building it, building it, building it, building it, building buzz. And when you go to those, give those talks, even though you don't have that book to sell, there are other things you can ask for. You can ask for endorsements. You can ask for, testimonials. Especially if you're speaking, if you happen to have any kind of way to capture stuff on video, you know, get people live giving them testimonials. You can ask people to, you know, sign up on a list if they'd like to get information about the book when it comes out. So do those things. You can ask every single person in the room, who else do they know where you can speak? You know, provided these aren't paid speaking engagements, if you're speaking for like, you know, a business luncheon or something like that. And if you've never really spoken before and this whole process of getting up and speaking is intimidating to you, start in your living room with a circle of friends.
Yes.
You just start from where you start.
Mm-hmm. Or start in front of your camera and put it on YouTube and just get used to watching yourself speak.
And, you know, another thing that you can do is, A lot of radio interviewers, at least everybody I know who does radio, and I've done like, you know, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of radio shows, provide a question list, an interview list. Not that the host necessarily has to use that list, but it really helps them. And make a copy for yourself and write out your answers under each of your questions. And it doesn't mean you're going to be reading them all the time, but it's like an extra step of security that it'll just make you feel more secure when you're speaking,
yes,
especially if you're a new speaker.
And you know, something else that, Randy, since I work with people a lot on speaking fears and public speaking and things of that sort, is that don't be shy about practicing your answers out loud, because there's a part of your brain that functions when you're talking that doesn't function when you're thinking. And you need to get used to hearing the acoustical sound of your voice, making it as musical as possible, as well as getting your brain to go, oh, I have to actually articulate these words spontaneously. So practice, 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 practice out loud and become comfortable with that whole process. It's something that I see such a difference in people's confidence when they're speaking. So just another additional tidbit there. Now, how do people get their speaking engagements? Where do people go, paid, unpaid, prior to having a product, prior to even having a platform for their book?
I'm trying to think back. Where did I start? I think I just spoke for, with Crappy to Happy, I started speaking for, because that book had a mind, body, spirit tone to it, so I started
yes,
speaking for New Thought churches, luncheon groups, you know, anybody, any groups that I could find, chambers of commerce, what organizations do I currently belong to where I could just get up and speak?
Okay.
It also depends on the area you live in and how much access you have to, you know, different opportunities. But, you know, I stay local.
Libraries. I'm so excited. How do you use telecommunications along these lines? Or is that really not the first step? You have to go public in person before you can get a telecommunications audience? Or how does it all
Not necessarily. Like, you know, how many friends do you have who have radio shows? That's where I would start. I would start with my inner circle of influence. And then the next phase I would do, I would go to friends who are, I would call, big mouth friends. Who are my big mouth friends who are maybe more comfortable getting out in front of people? And maybe they have more resources than I do. That's the way I would be thinking. So, like, you know, who's the big mouth list? Now, here's another, and ask those people to introduce you. Another technique you can do is when you find an author who is speaking on a topic such as yours, go to their schedule page and see who they're speaking, where they're speaking. And I've done that many, many times and gotten myself booked on all kinds of live speaking and radio speaking just by looking at another author's list of where they're going to be speaking. And contacting
and
those people myself.
You call them, write a proposal. How do you contact them?
I have a little speaker packet. You know, I create speaker packets for people, and we write down, you know, here's the different speaking topics, whether it's one or five, you know, depending on how, you know, how comfortable a person is speaking and, you know, their level of experience. We include their bio and, you know, questions about, you know, interview questions, just all kinds of things. So we just prepare a little speaker packet, and then it's always ready to go. So I have that online. You know, hardly anything is ever done anymore by snail mail. It's kind of funny because years ago it used to be, you know, you have like the professional portfolio folder and your business card
yes,
in it and your photo. And it's like, no, now it's a JPEG photo attached to an email. And it's
absolutely
funny because I write for magazines as well. And so, and I interview many best-selling authors, especially in the mind, body, spirit world. Like all, if you think of a big name person, I probably have interviewed them. And so when their books come out, the publishers send them to me, or the magazine publisher will send it to me. And there used to be like a full formal press kit with examples of former interviews, all kinds of things. Now I'm lucky if I get like just a one-page press release and the book, done. That's it. Not even a cover letter anymore. So
yeah,
the industry has certainly changed, and also because I think people are flooded with paper, and who needs all that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get somebody a really great question list, you know, a blurb about you, maybe even an introduction. Here's the introduction page that the host can use to actually, you know, when they're on radio, you know, they can use, they can just read it off to, you know, to introduce you as their guest. You know, you make it easy for them, and we put all those materials together.
Yes, because producing a show needs to go quickly, and if you can make it easy on your host, absolutely. I do so appreciate exactly what you're saying, because it's exactly what I go through. I look for people who make it easy for me to contact, work with, and move them forward to production. So it's just a wonderful suggestion that you make. Now, you have a website page dedicated to website text, press kits, marketing kits, for book promotions, and that would be part of your services that you offer as well, I understand.
Yes, I mean, through Author One Stop, I did want to make it a one-stop for people, so, you know, to meet many, many needs, and so I do. And in fact, I became kind of like, you know, a master of the press release some years ago, just, you know, playing with keywords and figuring out, you know, so for example, I remember one time I was doing a press release, and I was checking the word combination wine and food versus food and wine. And there was a huge difference in the amount of exposure for each of those. So there are just so many subtleties in doing press releases that really, really get results. And so that's something that's just very, very important. And also how we, again, position things. And I'll give you an example. A gal came to me, and she had self-published books, a couple of books on some independent wineries in Santa Cruz and Monterey, California. And she wanted to drive some holiday traffic. This was in October, so we let the press release go out in early November. And so the title of the press release was Wine Lover's Top-Rated Holiday Gift Choice. I did not mention the books in that title. I went right to the target market, wine lovers, holiday, people looking for holiday gifts, top rated. Well, who made it top rated? I did. Because I looked at the endorsements she had, they were from top rated people, so we called it top rated. Gift choice. So they were all keywords. And that woman got 92,000 impressions on that press release within a couple of days. And that's a huge amount of impressions. And what an impression is, which is not a hit, an impression is where did that press release wind up? Who took it? Who was interested in it? So 92,000 places. That's great exposure.
It's that SEO, that search engine optimization,
yes.
Which, of course, Google changes on frequent basis of its algorithm.
Yes.
Nonetheless, that's its current, yes. You have to stay up with that. Okay, so now we've had the book, the editing, perhaps the ghostwriting. We've had the knowing what the agents and publishers are thinking are going to sell, being able to conform to that, book proposals associated to that, developing your own platform prior to the full process by public speaking, website presence, so forth and so on. And now what is the next step, using you or going with another aspect?
Yes, actually, what I want to take it back just a little bit, because there are some mistakes that authors make in their book proposals. There's like three key mistakes, and I really want to make sure that all the authors out there listening to this, please do not make these mistakes in your proposal. The first one is telling a publisher you know your book is going to be a bestseller. You don't know that. You may think
right.
that. You can believe that in your heart of hearts, but you do not know that, and it's just don't. Just do not put that in there. Publishers will look at that. They'll roll their eyes. They'll know they're working with an amateur, and they'll move on to the next project.
Okay, yes.
We prove the sale. We prove the potential for bestseller status by showing real numbers. Or you can sign up for any number of programs online. There are so many people who do them who have, like, bestseller programs in which you pay to play.
Okay. So clarify this for me. Now, I'm feeling myself a little spotty on this point. So what do you mean?
So, for example, there's many people saying, my book is number one on Amazon. Well, yes, they paid somebody to help them run a promotion to do that. And you've probably received emails in your inbox where, you know, get this book, plus you're going to get 50 bonuses or 10 bonuses or whatever the latest amount of bonuses are that are related to these launches, these book launches. So there's a big spike in sales for one particular day because everybody's told, buy the book on, you know, the, November 1st is my book launch. Please buy my book on Amazon. So it'll show that, yes, there's a huge spike in sales. Maybe you're a best-selling author for one day or a week, and then they typically just drop and disappear. I mean, that's
right.
A typical phase, but then people can say forevermore, I'm an Amazon bestseller. Now, a lot of people also pay to get on the New York Times list. They pay programs, I've heard, anywhere from like $25,000 to like $90,000 or $65,000. And sometimes you have to guarantee that you will buy a certain amount of books, you know, to make that book the New York Times bestseller. And then, of course, there are publishers who can step in and also get books on the New York Times bestseller list pretty quickly as well.
And are they buying those as well?
What's
that? Are they buying those positions as well?
I don't know. I honestly cannot say that. I just do not know.
What's the expense of that? What is the involvement of that?
Well, I don't run best-selling campaigns. That's not my business, so that's not what I do.
Okay.
I don't do that. For me, it's a lot of manipulation. And there's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not what I do.
It reminds me when one of our presidential candidates bought Facebook likes. I'm not going to go any farther than that.
You know, for me, I do grassroots sales. I mean, that's just who I am and it's what I do. And, you know, people can choose. People can do Amazon programs, you know, whatever they want. And, you know, so whatever works for people.
That's interesting. Okay, so you're in the process of telling us the three mistakes not to make in book proposals.
Yes, number one, never tell a publisher your book's going to be a bestseller. Mentioning what I call pie-in-the-sky connections. So, for example, I have a friend who produces, is one of the producers or is a former producer for Oprah, and I know she can open a door for me there, and I'm going to be on Oprah's channel. And well, that's still pie in the sky.
Got it.
Like, what are real committed connections? And the same is true for endorsements. Oh, I'm going to get Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer to, or Brian Tracy or this person or that person to, you know, provide an endorsement for me. Well, that's nice. But unless it's a commitment, they're not interested in seeing it. And I want to give people an idea of how to go after those endorsements. Because, well, first of all, Brian Tracy, at least I don't know as of this month, but he has been very accessible. He has wanted his name on the bottom, on the back of many book covers. Because remember, it's good publicity for all these people who are endorsing.
Mm-hmm.
So he has been pretty accessible. So if you have a business book, get a hold of Brian Tracy. There's a good possibility he'll give you a cover endorsement for it.
Mm.
Now, there's a woman named Jean Houston, who you may or may not know, Dr. Jean Houston. Are you familiar with her?
Oh, gosh, that name sounds familiar. I'm looking her up right now.
So
go,
she was one of the people. She was one of the people who founded the whole like humanistic psychology movement back in, I don't know, maybe the 60s, 70s. And so, you know, she has her following. I was interviewing her one time. She told me that she gets 150 requests a month for cover endorsements. Now, she,
yes.
I use her as an example because she's not maybe the top tier. Let's say the top tier might be a Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer kind of person.
Okay.
Or Carolyn Mace, you know, all these different people. So if you can imagine somebody who's maybe not at the top tier right now getting 150 endorsement requests, how many is Deepak Chopra getting or Wayne Dyer, all these other people?
Right.
So they're inundated. And when you look at how busy you are in your life, would you have time to be reading through other people's work? Probably not. So the best way I tell people to get these endorsements, and most endorsements are done this way. It was shocking to me when I first found it out. First of all, you would write three sample endorsements to send to somebody that they can sign off on or use kind of as a basis to create their own. And before even asking for an endorsement, I encourage you as much as possible to think about what is it that I can give versus what can I get. So, for example, you know, I write for magazines, so it's easy for me to ask for an endorsement when I can say, you know, would you be willing to give me an endorsement and I'm going to, you know, get you an article in a magazine. That's, you know, that's a good thing that I can give, but most people are not in that position. So what is it that you can give? Check to see if these people do events. Can you volunteer for their events? Can you get on their radar? Or do you have a large list already that you can help promote something they're doing? What is it that you can give? And that's really what I call a magic formula, not only for business, but for life.
Okay. Oh, yes, absolutely. The two-way street idea.
Yes. And then the third thing, a very large mistake that a lot of authors put in their proposal is something I referred to earlier, which is, I will do X, Y, and Z once the book comes out. Start doing it now. Before I wrote Crappy to Happy, my first book, which just came out in ebook version, by the way, and it's going to be in print on demand very shortly as well. So it is available as an ebook already. When I wrote that book, I was part of a mastermind group, and this was before I was, you know, heavily ensconced in the publishing industry as I am now. And there were a whole bunch of us that had books coming out, and one was like, you know, top publicist, Jill Lublin, her first book was coming out back then, and just there were just a number of us. And so we set a marker for ourselves about 6 months before our books came out that we would get one media placement that month somewhere where we mentioned our book. We mentioned it as the upcoming title, you know, the upcoming book, like I happen to refer to the Little Book of Big Epiphanies or Bald Courage. They're upcoming books for me.
Okay.
And so then 5 months out, we upped the marker, so every month. So that month we had to get two media mentions, then, you know, then three media mentions, four media mentions. So we were like up to like five media mentions somewhere, anywhere, whether it was newspaper, an alumni magazine, whatever. But we had to just start building buzz. And there's a wonderful book out by one of my editors, has sold over something like 400,000 copies of her books. I've actually helped her get some of her books into different publishers. And one of the books she came out with was called The Thrifty Author's Guides. And there was one to How to Market Your Book Without Going Crazy. It was something like that. Her name is Gail Z. Martin. And it was one of the best laid out formulas I've ever seen. And Gail actually wrote the text for the My Social Media to Go, for all of that, all of, you know, how to do your online publicity. She wrote all the text for all of those automated messages that people are going to get for free every day.
Because
she knows this market. And hers was one of the books that I got into all the Office Maxes around the country, into FedEx Office.
It's very interesting. In other words, I hear the energy in your voice as you talk. The authors are often very introverted. They write. They spend a lot of time contemplating. They're in front of their computer. They're inside their brain, their soul, their content. And you have got to step out of that type of mindset if you want other people to hear what's going on inside of your own mind in your book. And so
you have to step out of the mindset, and you have to step out of your fear, wherever the fear is holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge thing for people.
And part of the fear is, I don't know what to do. And you're saying you do know what to do for them.
Yes. And, you know, there are certainly steps that we take one after the other, and it's just one baby step in front of the next. You know, I have a book coming out for one of my authors. It's coming out shortly called Fearless 360. And it's, you know, a book for women about, you know, to be empowered in all aspects of your life. And, you know, and move forward. And, you know, overcoming fear, that's another big, big topic. A lot of publishers interested in it.
That's so interesting. Oh, this is interesting to hear what's going on. Okay, well, take us on to our next path here. What is it?
So where are we now? Do we have the book? Or I want to share some things about the actual writing, because this is something that every author can do. Eliminate weak words. So go through your book. I mean, if you just start doing a find on the word, has, what, do, did, got, a lot of, you know, got, get, watch out for your got, gets.
Yeah,
you know, eliminate those words, just, you know, some more interesting words as appropriate. And another thing in terms of the writing, there's a phrase in writing that's called show, don't tell. And the example, just a you know, little like first grade level of an example of showing versus telling. If I told you the boy was cold versus, you know, Johnny shivered in his shoes, you know, which evokes an image? So you want to make your work as have imagery in it. Support, don't weigh people down in lots of theory or data. Use real examples. People learn a lot through story and through examples. So make sure you have a good amount of examples. You know, like if you're writing a paragraph about whatever, you know, a step to do whatever, support it by examples, by anecdote.
So now, a lot of books that are written, I've noticed that there's a certain educational level of reading. Oh, my gosh, how do I say that delicately? And that you can actually get your book assessed for how complex the wording is or the sentence structure is, the vocabulary is. So what are publishers looking for in terms of the complexity of writing?
You know, I start looking at a project, and so that's part of, in my mind, how I know whether I think a project is going to sell and who might be interested in it, the level of the language and who the target market reader is.
Hmm.
So if somebody's target market reader is mainstream and the level of the language is what I call dry rice cake stuck to the roof of your mouth, we don't have a match. We just don't have a match there. So, you know, I'm going to be talking with the author about, you know, here are the possibilities. Is this book for an academic audience or is it for mainstream? Are you actually writing to the mainstream? And one of the ways that can help you to write to the mainstream, if that is your market, is to speak it out loud. And does your work sound like the way people talk?
Hmm.
And that's just a really important thing. And, you know, and I want to mention one other thing about in terms of getting the book deal, if you really want to get your book published through a traditional publisher or find a publisher, you have to know how many books are out there on your topic. What is the competition? And that's actually one of the sections that we include in the book proposal as well. And we have to be able to differentiate your book to show what is new that or unique that you're bringing to this conversation. There has to be a very unique twist, a unique angle, something that's going to really make that the publisher's eyebrow raise or that literary agent's eyebrow raise. Like, we like this.
Yes. Okay, wonderful. Okay, then what is next? You are going to, and I thank you very much, offer something to listeners. And since this radio show will be on the air indefinitely, you might want to give us a time limit as to how long you will offer this for. But what would you like to offer listeners?
Well, I'd be very happy to offer a free conversation with somebody, anybody who would like to call me, and let's just do like just 10 minutes, you know, before we need to book a formal consultation. I want to hear your book idea. I want to know if it's viable and, you know, just give you a certain sense of direction about what we would need to move forward with it. I also created a Write a Book program. And it's a fantastic program that many, many people have used. And I sell it online for $300, and I would be happy to offer it to anybody who mentions your show, Dr. Carol Francis' show. You must mention it, and I will sell it at half price. And so many people have used it to write their books. And it's specifically for people, for one of three categories of people. One is that you want to offer some kind of steps or a how-to or a problem-solution format, or you've had a life experience where you've overcome some challenge and you want to inspire others on their journey, or you want to tell other people's stories, like anthology style. So the Write a Book program supports all three of those different kinds of books, and it includes templated sections, for example, the introduction. A lot of people say, I don't know how to start. That's where I'm blocked. Well, I templated the whole introduction. I make it really, really easy to get going with your book and take you through all the steps, stage by stage, is what needs to be in those stories and how you structure them, how you format it. And then there's also back cover sales copy that's templated, author bio is templated, conclusion is templated. And I offer a full money-back guarantee on it because I want people to be exquisitely happy with it and really have
and
it work for people.
All over your websites, that's something you want to guarantee that these people are going to get something very usable and very helpful. Okay, folks, the challenge is on. A wonderful, valuable 10-minute conversation with Randy and simultaneously half off of how to write your book. Randy, what do we call that?
The Write a Book Program.
Write a Book Program. You mentioned the Dr. Carol Francis Talk Radio Show. Thank you for doing that. Okay, now, we still have valuable moments. I like to squeeze the turnip until it's completely done with its juices. So help us in our last moments here.
I want
we
people
know
to know how to reach me. How to reach me is Randy with a Y, R-A-N-D-Y, at authoronestop.com. Randy at authoronestop.com.
And your other site that they definitely need to hook into is?
So then there's www.mysocialmediatogo.com. Mysocialmediatogo.com.
All right. And in terms of being able to get that 10-minute phone conversation with you, how do they contact you for that?
Randy at authoronestop.com. That's
perfect.
The easiest way to reach me.
Okay. Now, what do you think is next in the list of people scratching their head going, okay, I've got a lot to do. What is next?
I think having an initial conversation with me so we can get the right sequence in place, because everybody's in a different place in their book writing process.
Okay.
Just, book of, 10 minutes. There's no obligation to it. I just give out information.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you now? This is what I think you need.
Okay, so folks, you've got to take advantage of this. Randy, I'm going to take advantage of it. I have 8 books out there. Some are out there in the market, some are not, and then I have even more books on my computer. So, folks, I'm going to take advantage of that 10-minute conversation. I'm going to let you know, folks, what exactly is valuable in those 10 minutes. So thank you, Randy, for doing that. And also, these next few months, we're actually going to be talking to a lot of individuals about publishing books in all sorts of ways and format. And I really feel that the biggest difficulty is marketing, publicity, being out there so that you can expose yourself and your book. And Randy, I think you provide an absolutely wonderful few steps of getting out there. And so interesting that truly the publisher wants to know that you're already game to go. You're already in motion. The rolling stone is not something they need to start rolling. You are rolling it, and they might help promote that. Randy, what else do we need to know? You're leaving bits of information, inspiration for our writers.
If the book is really your dream, absolutely follow it. Some people get stopped by rejection. A rejection letter is just like, no. Any rejection letter I ever got, I looked at that letter and said, well, you're not the person who's going to make a million off of me. Next. You must stay positive. And so, for example, if you go to Author One Stop on my Facebook page for Author One Stop, sometimes people will say, oh, I got rejected, and they'll put frowny faces. They have no idea that agents are trolling my site. So always be professional in anything you're writing anywhere, because you never know who's going to read it. So that's really, really important. Stay positive. Show your professional self on all of these different Facebook pages or LinkedIn or wherever you go, because you never know who's looking at your material. What's that?
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I've just seen magic happen sometimes where publishers or agents have gone to people when they've seen their blogs and offered them book deals.
Awesome. In other words, if you write your book about empowerment, live it while you're in the process of trying to get your book out there.
Yes. And I say we teach best what we need to learn. And we all do. So,
yes.
Yeah, whatever you're teaching, you're learning it as well to be an example
Randy,
of it.
Randy, you say that, the topic these days is overcome your fear and move forward. And I think that you provide really carefully outlined tools, a how-to, as well as actual resources on AuthorOneStop.com and on my social media to go. So you don't need to be afraid anymore because now you have your next step on your map. Now you know where to go. The Google Map.
Yeah, it's just one step at a time.
One step at a time. All right, Randy, one more time. How do they reach you?
Randy@AuthorOneStop.com.
Perfect. You have been great. Individuals, get back to us when you talk to Randy. Let us know how it goes and also let us know about your book. We are more than willing to help you get out there and be proactive in making your life happen. Thank you so much for joining us, Randy, and we will talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.